Okay, hi everyone. Welcome to the very first Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. So hooray! This is exciting. So I guess we'll jump right in because we do have quite a bit of an agenda for our very first meeting. So we will start with a roll call. And so with this roll call, I'm just going to read out the membership, and then for the person representing that, if you could state your name and then also state who you're representing. And then after that, we can move into the rest of the agenda. Is that cool? Okay, so I will start with the voting members. Do we have a staff representative of City of Savannah? If you are in person or online, please say it verbally and state your name for the record.
Tina Bach-Colds, present, representing City of Savannah.
Awesome. Online. Mm-hmm. How about staff representative of Chatham County?
David Rice, Chatham County.
Perfect. Do we have a staff representative from Effingham County?
Alden Strandberg, Effingham County.
Awesome. Staff representative for City of Rincon. Okay, we will move on to staff representative from Chatham Area Transit. Okay, we will move on to, do we have a staff representative from Georgia Bikes? Okay, for Bike Ped Coordinator, that's me, present. How about a staff representative from Life Inc.? Okay. Do we have a staff representative from Bike Walk Savannah?
Kayla Brown, Bike Walk Savannah.
Awesome. How about a staff representative from the Coastal Regional Commission?
Sky Lewis, Coastal Regional Commission.
Awesome. Do we have a staff representative from the Chatham Savannah School System? Okay, do we have a staff representative for Tied to Town?
Yeah, that's Tina Bachold again with Tied to Town online.
Did
you talk about Friends of Tied to Town, probably?
Possibly. Is it mom in the bylaws?
We had just established Tied to Town because the city and Friends of Tied to Town are still working on specifics in the MOU.
Okay.
We potentially will have a separate person from Friends of Tied to Town who would serve as that representative.
Okay. So I think for the City of Savannah representative, maybe that's Kira Fields.
It could be Kira or it could be Harold.
Or Harold Taylor.
Who's the Vision Zero coordinator.
Okay. And then for Tied to Town, it can be Tina Blockhold for this meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
What about a staff representative for Healthy Savannah? Okay. And I believe the interested citizen position might be unfilled. So we'll work on filling that position. We might have to open up some more interested citizen seats. That might be a good idea. Okay, for our non-voting, do we have a staff representative from GDOT?
Yes, well, this is Connor Booth, the Georgia Department of Transportation.
Awesome. Welcome. Do we have a staff representative from East Coast Greenway?
We do have Jim Hemphill.
Okay.
I'm going to make him the panelist.
Perfect. And do we have staff representative from Georgia Hilo?
Also Alden Strandberg, Georgia High-Low Trail.
Perfect. Okay, do we have a staff representative from Savannah State University? Okay, how about a staff representative for Georgia Southern University? Okay, do we have a staff representative for SCAD? All right, do we have a staff representative for Savannah Wheelman?
Baird Sills, Savannah Wheelman.
Welcome. And do we have a staff representative for the city of Bloomingdale? Okay, do we have a staff representative for Garden City? Okay, do we have a staff representative for the city of Pooler? Okay, a staff representative for the city of Port Wentworth? Moving on, a staff representative for the town of Thunderbolt. Okay. Do we have a staff representative for the city of Tybee Island? Okay. And do we have a staff representative for the city of Richmond Hill? Okay. And do we have a staff representative for Bryan County? All right. So that is the roll call. I do see someone in the front at the podium. I don't think, did you have a chance to speak and state your name and who you represent? Oh, I'm so sorry. I was paying attention to the screen and not looking right in front of me. Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So let's move into the agenda. So before we approve the agenda, I think we should go ahead and elect temporary committee officers that will run the meeting. So voting for a temporary chairperson and a temporary vice chairperson that will serve for the rest of 2024. And then we'll go through the rest of the agenda. So according to the bylaws, or actually we don't have to scroll through all that. So for voting for a temporary chairperson and a temporary vice chairperson, the election will be determined by a simple majority vote of those in attendance. And these committee officers will serve from now until December 2024. And in December 2024, that's when we will have an official election to elect the chairperson and vice chairperson. Okay. So now we can move on to nominations. Do we have nominations for a chairperson for the Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee?
Do nominations have to be by other people, or can they be by the – up to y'all?
We've always done it by other people, but the MPO can recommend. So I nominate Kayla Brown to be the chairperson of the Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Are there any other nominations?
I nominate Kayla Brown as the chairman.
Awesome. Chairperson. So then, hearing no other nominations, we can put it to a vote. All in favor of Kayla Brown serving as the chairperson for 2024 for the Bike and Pedestrian Advisory Committee, please say aye.
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 Okay. Are there any opposed? Okay. It's official, so Kayla Brown will serve as the chairperson for the duration of 2024. So now we'll move on to vice chairperson. Do we have a nomination for a vice chairperson to serve for the BPAC? Any nominations? I'll pull up the bylaws so we can see the positions and everything.
I nominate Alden as vice chair.
Okay. Are there any other nominations? Okay.
I was also going to nominate Alden.
Okay. Perfect. So, hearing no other nominations, we will put it to a vote. Everyone in favor of Alden being the vice chairperson of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee for the rest of 2024, please say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Okay, we will move on. So now, in terms of running the meeting, it'll be Kayla, since she is the chairperson. She will be the one running the meeting. And also, for the people in person and in the audience, if you'd like to speak, please come up to a microphone and press the button and make sure that red light is on so you can be heard, so we can have it for recording and documentation purposes. Okay, so now we can move on to item one. So, Caleb?
All right. Thank you, Asia. All right, so the first item will be approval of the agenda. We've already taken care of action item one, but if I can get a motion to approve the agenda and then a second.
Motion to move.
Tina seconds.
All right, all in favor, if you can say aye. Asia, do we need to have a the names of everybody who's voting, or are we doing just general kind of ayes? Okay, so yeah.
If we hear no nay.
Okay, so if, all right, so the way that we'll move forward is if you are in approval, just say aye or yay. If you are against whatever we are motioning, then state your name and your position. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, agenda is approved. Moving on to action item number two, determination of the meeting schedule.
Okay, so this item is to determine when we should meet. So within the bylaws, our meeting schedule is meeting on a quarterly basis unless stated otherwise or unless scheduled otherwise. But we do not have a regular meeting date for those quarters. So we don't know at, you know, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4 what date and time we will be meeting. So we can use this meeting to determine that. So I scheduled today's meeting for Tuesday at 2 p.m. just because it was the best available time with everything that's kind of going on at the MPO, but it does not have to be Tuesdays at 2 p.m. However, if this day of the week and time works for everyone, we could continue with this one, or maybe we could suggest another day. And we also have the option of a doodle schedule poll, too, to see what people prefer as well.
Alden Strandberg, I do like the idea of the survey going out, but preferably for me, mornings to midday are best, no evenings.
Okay. Noted. Are there any other opinions?
Yeah, Dame Rice. I would say the mornings work best.
Mornings.
Anytime after 9.
Anytime after 9? So like between 9 and 11?
Yeah, between
okay.
9 and 11.
Okay.
But if not, the afternoons it will suffice.
Okay. So mornings are kind of best for everyone. Afternoons are okay.
I think Tuesdays make sense with the TCC meetings being on Thursday.
Okay. Day is a good day.
It might make sense for us to do, since, you know, we are starting halfway through the year, perhaps we do a meeting before the next TCC meeting,
in October.
Kind of following the same schedule in October, and then we can do another one in December.
Okay, that sounds good.
And then that way we'll still have a few meetings before we have to do elections for 2025.
Okay, that sounds good. I guess hearing all of those opinions, unless there are any more opinions on it. Do we have anyone in the virtually that would like to state their opinion?
I'm good. Tina's good with morning or early afternoon, preferably not evenings as well.
Okay.
Justin here. No. Tuesdays are great. Preference
either morning or afternoon is fine, but Tuesday is really our preferable.
Okay. So,
yeah, so with that, it looks like our two meetings would be October 15th and December 10th, okay. For following the TCC schedule. That is also just the holds that are on my calendar, so
mm-hmm.
the actual dates could be different.
And please check whether there are any conflicts.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we're going to check for conflicts on our end for other meetings that happen at the MPC. And so in terms of moving forward with this action item, is this something that we should move forward with a poll, or do you want to vote on it and determine it today?
Yeah, let's confirm what those meeting dates would be, and then we can send that out via email, perhaps with two different morning options, or perhaps a morning, like a 10 a.m. and a 1 p.m. option,
okay.
And then we can just confirm that that works for everybody's schedules.
Okay.
Can you repeat the dates, and I can tell you whether or not MPC meetings are happening?
So it's October 15th and December 10th. Ideally going 2 days before the technical coordinating committee.
Okay, October 15th, we have an MPC meeting at 1:30. The 16th is open, however. And then TCC was supposed to be on the 17th. So that has changed.
So we just got a suggestion from YCOTA that maybe we could have another meeting location, since the MPC meeting will be happening in this meeting room. Or we could also do it virtually too. So that one will be all virtual.
Okay, yeah, I think virtual could work if we're allowed to do that.
I believe so. I believe in the bylaws it's hybrid.
Yeah.
So, and I'll scroll to the part of the bylaws. And here somewhere. Okay, since BPAC meetings are hybrid, in person and virtual, if a voting member attends virtually, he or she will still be counted towards the quorum.
Okay, great. So what we can do is plan on at least the next meeting being virtual, and once we confirm what those dates are in terms of the calendar positioning, then we'll have that moving forward.
Okay.
And we can send that out via email to everybody, hopefully by the end of the week.
Okay, okay. Sounds good.
So December what? December 10th, is it?
Yes.
And that date is open on our calendar.
Open?
So, yes, it's open, so we could schedule a meeting for December.
Okay. Okay, so I guess we should, if there's any other discussion, virtually or in person, please let us know. But if not, I guess we can move on to maybe creating a motion to accept these terms, unless there's more discussion to be had.
Motion to move forward.
Motion to move forward.
All right, motion and a second. All in favor of moving forward with the next meeting being virtual and then scheduling subsequent meetings via email. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. All right. Moving on to status reports.
Hi.
Also, Chattamarian Transit's here. Do you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Oh, hi everyone. My name is Amory Bergsteiner. I am the systems analyst / scheduler at Chatham Area Transit. And hello, nice to meet you all.
Hi, welcome.
All right, great. So moving on to status reports.
Okay, I will be giving the third number three, which is moving forward together 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. Okay, so this will be the final presentation, at least for this meeting, the first and the final, of the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update for 2050. And we've called it the Moving Forward Together 2050 Plan. And so I'm sure most people here are familiar with what an MPO is, but still for information purposes, an MPO is a metropolitan planning organization. It's federally mandated for urban areas with a population over 50,000. One of the goals of an MPO is to facilitate collaboration between organizations, counties, and cities. Another function is to allocate funding, and then also to create transportation plans to address regional needs and priorities. So the MPO creates several planning documents. Included in that is the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. That's the big one that we'll be discussing for this presentation. This is a long-range plan, but we also create shorter-range plans or plans on specific transportation topics. So, for example, our Transportation Improvement Program is our short-range plan. We also have our congestion management process, a public participation plan, and a Title VI plan, which is our non-discrimination plan. And then we also have a bicycle and pedestrian plan that we create too. And so that is something that this committee will be working closely with. So what is the core MPO specifically? It's the MPO for the Savannah region. And within its boundary, which is shown in the map here, it includes all of Chatham County, parts of Bryan County, and then also pretty huge parts of Effingham County as well. And this is the newly adopted boundary that we went forward with in February of 2024. So in addition to having committees, core MPO also has a board. And so the core MPO board specifically sets regional and long-term transportation policies, prioritizes projects, and then approves the long-range metropolitan transportation plan, and then also some of our other required planning documents. So the next core MPO board meeting, that is when we are projecting the adoption of the MTP 2050. So that's coming very soon. So what is a metropolitan transportation plan? It's a plan that sets the region's transportation system investment policies and priorities. It also links transportation with regional land use, development, housing, and employment goals. It's multimodal in nature and intermodal in nature, so it focuses on multiple forms of transportation. And it also creates projections for the regions over the next 20 years and is updated every 5 years. And then also very important on this slide is that it results in a fiscally constrained prioritized list of projects. So what this means is we identify projects that are needed within the region, and then we also basically do cost estimations for how much that project may cost. So in short, the Moving Forward Together 2050 plan is the blueprint for the Savannah region's transportation improvements to meet mobility needs. This plan covers 2025 to 2050, so it's a 25-year plan. And the expected adoption date is August 7th, 2024, so that's coming very soon. And it is multimodal. And the rest of the slide just shows the plans that have contributed to this overall plan. So we had our travel demand model, our congestion management process, our regional freight plan was very important in this process. Chatham Area Transit's master transit plan was very important. And then the non-motorized transportation plan also contributed heavily. And then we also had huge sections on resilience, and then also data from the urban flood model that was used within this process. So this is just the process that we used to develop the project. So it was intaking a lot of data, using that data to forecast future conditions, and then also going out to the public, going out to stakeholders, and using all of that outreach to determine a vision and goals for the future. And then we also involved analyzing results from surveys, analyzing data from our travel demand model, for example, and analyzing population data. So that's kind of that analysis and evaluation portion. And then we created strategies for transportation, land use, and so on within this plan. And then also very important, we recommended a financially constrained plan. So that financially constrained list of projects. So we went through several rounds of public involvement, and we're in the final one. This is the very end. So the public involvement period is coming to an end today. So we advertised it to end on July 30th. So this is kind of the last bit of time to get in your input for this plan so we can address it before its adoption on August 7th. So we had three rounds starting in 2022, and now we're at the end in 2024. And then this is also showing the long timeline of everything that happened for this plan development. So moving into those revenue projections for the financially constrained plan and also just revenue projections for future transportation investments. As you can see, there will be a total of $1.89 billion of projected investments according to the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan. The majority of that will be going to highway projects. So $1.4 billion, for example, will be going to highway projects. Another $200 million will be going to operational improvements, $74 million to non-motorized through the non-motorized set-aside, $33 million through transit projects, and then also we have $130 million for maintenance projects. And so this is just a map of the highway projects specifically. And these were the projects that are in that financially constrained plan. So these are the new roadways and widenings and that are the red lines. And then the blue dots are the bridges, interchanges, and overpasses. And this is also available on our website too. So it's on our website in the draft document. And then we also have it as a brochure as well. And we also have the brochures outside, so I can pass them to you guys as well. And then it also has the projects listed on the side. So these are just the projects kind of listed out. So we have the pipeline projects for Chatham County and the municipalities within Chatham County. So as you can see, Project Durin is in there, and in addition to several other projects that are in that financially constrained plan. We also have projects within Effingham County. So these are those pipeline projects within Effingham County. We also have added projects with newly available funds. So we have some projects that got grant awards, like electrification grants, and we also have a project that received new formula programming funds as well. And this is also for electrification, electric vehicles, electric charging. We also have some longer-term projects that were carried over from the 2045 MTP. That's very important in this process to carry over the projects in previous plans into this plan so they can still be implemented. And then we also added some newly identified longer-term projects as well. So the SR21 widening is a pretty big one, for example. So these are our set-aside policies. We have set-aside policies for maintenance, operational improvements, transit, and non-motorized improvements. And so that is just setting aside highway funds to other uses and other forms of transportation. So, for example, for non-motorized improvements, it's a 3% set-aside. So 3% of those highway funds can be used for non-motorized transportation improvements. And then we also have transit capital improvement projects that are included in this plan in the red text. These are the projects in our current TIP, the 2024 to 2027 TIP. In the black, those are the longer-term transit capital improvement programs. And then we also added the new grant that Chatham Area Transit received for electric bus vehicles. So this is coming to the end of this presentation. We're keeping the survey open until August 7th. This should say 2024. So that's what it actually means. August 7th, 2024, we are keeping that survey open just because it's been a helpful resource for people and for getting input. And the input process, even though the plan might end, we still want to hear people's opinion. So we do have the MAP survey still open and then also the regular survey still open, and they can be accessed through these links. We also have social media pages so you can keep up with us and the plan development. So we have a Facebook and an Instagram, and these are the handles. Core MPO is for Facebook, and then for Instagram, it's at Coastal Region MPO. We also have the option to attend public meetings. We only have a couple left. That is TCC and the Core MPO board. So there's still a chance to go in person and hear more about this plan and then speak directly with the people that were stakeholders within this plan as well. And in terms of getting us your feedback, please email us, go to our website, and text message our email as well to get that last minute input, because the public comment period is ending today. So this is the last day for comments. And we're specifically asking for comments on our draft that's posted on our website, which I believe I can click the link. So if you go to our website, you can access the draft plan here. And so this is the plan in its entirety. And then there are also, we also have our events. So these are the last two events, August 1st and August 7th. And so let me move on to the last slide. So in terms of contacting us and getting those comments to us, we have several ways to contact us. We have contact people such as Melanie Wilson and Waikota Wong. But the best way to contact us is sending your comments to this email, mtp2050@mpc.org. And then we can address those comments for this plan process. But again, that process is closing. So if you have last minute comments, please get them in. Are there any questions or comments on this? Okay, I'll move on. So please get your comments in. Today is the last day.
All right, the non-motorized transportation plan status report.
Okay, so this is the plan that this committee will be most involved in. So the non-motorized transportation plan is a document that addresses the development of bike and pedestrian infrastructure in the core MPO planning area. And the goal of this plan is to identify new projects, assess the needs of the community, and set new goals for bike and pedestrian infrastructure. So again, this is the first collaborative task of the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. Specifically, BPAC will oversee this update until its adoption. The aim is to adopt this plan by the end of 2024. So it's pretty quickly coming to a close. So in terms of what has been done for this plan so far, this plan update has been in progress for a couple of years now, so since 2022. And so in that, staff has compiled a lot of data, has identified a bunch of new projects, and is also drafting a ranking methodology. So for BPAC, what is BPAC's role in this? So BPAC will review this plan and review the content that we have so far. So they will review the recommendations, the project list, scoring methodology, and other content within the plan to ensure that it's holistically addressing bike and pedestrian development in the region. So progress on this plan will continue more heavily after the adoption of the 2050 MTP in August. So it kind of had to take a back seat while we were trying to finish the 2050 MTP. But after its adoption, it'll start right back up, jumping into this plan. So that will be something that BPAC is heavily involved in. I do have a question, though. So we do have a non-motorized transportation plan steering committee. But now we also have a bike and pedestrian advisory committee. So should we still have both committees going at the same time? Or should it just be, maybe we should review it at these BPAC meetings?
I think it would make sense to review at the BPAC meetings. We have a lot of overlap between the steering committee and then members on this committee. So I think we could extend an invitation to members of the original steering committee that haven't, that there aren't on the BPAC. But I think we could probably move forward with just doing status updates and work here.
Okay. And so the steering committee is kind of a work group. They kind of get into the weeds of the plan. And so if we invite them and if that's how BPAC meetings will function, it'll kind of be going through the content that we've had so far, our scoring methodology, how those scores came out, that type of thing. Does that sound good to everyone? Yep.
Any comments from online? Hearing none, we can move on to the Title VI plan and participation plan update.
Okay, so we have several plan updates going on even after the end of the Metropolitan Transportation Plan update. So this has been a very busy year for the MPO. So we have our Title VI plan update, and the Title VI plan is our non-discrimination plan. So we do have to update this plan periodically. the last update was in 2021. It has to be updated every 3 years. And so now we're aiming to complete this new update in 2024. And so within this plan, we are trying to ensure that outreach for this plan is inclusive and equitable. So, for example, in terms of complaint forms, we have to have them in several languages, for example. And then we also have to ensure that the MPO is operating in a way that people with different needs, such as maybe disability needs, they can still access our website or access our meetings in an accessible way, for example. Or people that maybe don't speak English very well, they can still access core MPO documents and are part of the participation process. So that's kind of what our Title VI plan does. So the Title VI plan update and the participation plan update, that will mostly be handled by the new TPAC committee, which is our Transportation Equity and Public Involvement Advisory Committee. But if anyone else wants to get involved, you're welcome. If you want to spread the word about this plan update, I'm happy to share more information. And then I also provided a link to the current Title VI plan. So for the participation plan update, this plan describes the strategies and techniques of the core MPO and what we use to inform and engage the public engage the public in transportation planning issues. With the purpose of maximizing participation and effectiveness. So this is also a required planning MPO document. Again, the last update for this was also 2021, and so we're trying to complete this update in fall of 2024. And this plan guides us on how we do participation for the MTP, for example, or TIP or our other planning projects. And we're also, I also provided a link to this plan here at the bottom. And so we're trying to get both of these plans done at around the same time. So if you're interested in learning more about them, you can read our Title VI page and then also read our current participation plan. And then we will let you know when it's fully updated as well. And that's it for this status report.
Okay, great. Any questions? All right, hearing none, we can move on. I noticed that the reports are under notices, so we'll just start with the discretionary PL funds.
Okay.
Bicycle and pedestrian study, and then roll into updates.
Okay. So we are pursuing discretionary PL funds for a bike and pedestrian facility study. And so this study is specifically trying to take inventory of the bike and pedestrian resources that we have within the core MPO region, because that's something we do not have. So we don't have updated maps of our sidewalks and their condition. We don't have updated maps of bike lanes and their conditions. And we also, I don't think we have maps at all of crosswalks and their condition. So that is the goal of this study, is to take that inventory, understand the condition of our inventory, and then also create some type of database or some type of way to regularly update the condition and status of that inventory. And so I think that covered it. Is there anything that I should add?
This study would cover all of Chatham County and then portions of Effingham and portions of Bryan County in the study area, as indicated here. So it would really be a comprehensive look at not only where our facilities are, but like Asia said, the condition of those. We have level of service for streets, but we don't have that for bicycle and pedestrian facilities. So we know that broken and busted up bike lane is not necessarily better than having no bike lane at all. And so this really would help us not only get that inventory, and like Asia said, like we don't have an inventory of where crosswalks are installed. So often our municipalities have to rely on people reporting that it's not painted or that the paint has faded in order to do maintenance. So this would also be helping our municipalities out to a great extent. And then we'd be able to use that data to help in that prioritization of projects. So one of the project prioritizations we've been looking at is, you know, rebuilding or reconstructing an existing facility. Most of the time, municipalities will apply for funding to have a new facility built, not necessarily to resurface or support reconstruction of an existing one. And so we hopefully would be able to use that data to help encourage municipalities to begin some new construction on existing projects. All right, any questions about this study? We are applying for the funds this fall, and if the funds are awarded, the MPO would be able to let the project out for an RFP in late spring, correct?
Yes, so it would be April 2025.
Yeah.
Would the data be collected through GIO imagery or by people in the field?
A little bit of both is what we're looking at. We know that with the tree canopy on the coast, it makes it difficult to get everything. So kind of be a tiered approach, using that imagery to collect data that we can see, but recognizing that some of that imagery may be 6 months to a year old, could be even older in our more rural areas. So there would be some field observations, community engagement, where people could submit issues on a map or let people know in a physical meeting exactly what issues they see. And then using the information that we already have to kind of complement that.
Okay, and also, so we're projecting or we're estimating that this will cost about $300,000, and that's just based off of the advice of other people who have worked on studies like this and said that it usually costs around $300,000. So that's the amount we're applying for.
All right.
Oh. Yeah, trying to for this committee, because this is the first time you hear about this project. Just when you go back today, review the scope over here and let us know if you need something that to be added, because the deadline for the grant application is August 22nd. But we are going to ask the Corn Bureau Board to adopt the resolution. So we will have assigned the resolution. But if you have anything that need to be added to the scope, please let us know before basically August 7th so that we can refine the scope and send the good application to the Georgia PL Funds Review Committee. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Vicoda. Asia, could you, following the meeting, or I can do it, we'll send out to the committee just the specific document.
Yep.
So we can make sure everybody has that.
Okay.
Oh, and with that, and this is slightly off topic, but could you make sure that Justin Bristol with Georgia Bikes is on the email list? Do you think he was having trouble with the calendar invite earlier?
Yeah, I sent him the calendar invite directly, and I told him I was going to make sure he's on the regular email list.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, y'all.
You're welcome.
Hey, when I remember that I have to do something, I sometimes remember. All right. Does anybody have any public comments, anything that you'd like to approach the podium about? All right. So hearing no public comments, were there any online? Okay. So we'll move into status updates. And we have GDOT up with a project status update report.
I think for some of these notices, they can just be for information purposes.
Yeah, some of these look like they're just the standard ones that we have for TCC. Moving forward, we will be soliciting status updates specifically related to bicycle and pedestrian activities from the individual board members. So we can talk more about specific projects.
And I believe we have this agency reports too. This is kind of verbal and maybe not as formal as submitting an item, but if anyone would like to speak on that, I think we can do that under agency reports if you have news or updates you'd like to share with the group.
Okay.
This is Connor with GDOT. If y'all have any questions about project updates or anything we have, just let me know. Happy to share.
Thank you.
Do you want to click to Chatham County and we can just click through the status reports as they're listed here and then kind of go around the room just to make sure that there isn't specific.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't want to throw Damon into this. I just wanted to highlight the projects we have that are pedestrian focused. So just to introduce it to this group. Oh, sorry. I'm Deanna Brooks. if you're wondering who's talking to you. So the Chevis Road Improvement Project, we've got pedestrian improvements all along Chevis Road from US 17. The Girard Avenue Improvement Project, we've got pedestrian improvements for that project, and that's also along a lane, so it goes from Gamble all the way to Chatham Parkway. Green Island Road Path, that's primarily a multi-purpose pathway. Green Island Road, which is out towards Skidaway Island, Skidaway State Park in that area, at the end of Diamond Causeway, if you're unfamiliar. And then the State Route 25 corridor study will also be evaluating pedestrian improvements as well. And then our Safe Streets for All, we have pedestrian improvements. We're evaluating pedestrian crashes with that one as well, just to reduce those numbers. The Quaco Road Widening Project, the Little Neck Road Construction Project, both of those are going to have sidewalk and shared use path on both sides of the road. And then we've got the US 80 sidewalk project, which is a relatively short stretch of sidewalk that is actually heading into construction soon. So that's just a little bit just to give you guys a very broad overview of what projects the county has that has some pedestrian focus. If you want any specific details, feel free to reach out to the county. We also have a good bit of information about our projects on the county engineering website.
So. Great. Thanks, Deanna. And Chatham County will be hosting a public information open house regarding Safe Streets for All on July 31st from 5 to 7 p.m. At Memorial Stadium. And there is an online survey available through August 31st. So if everybody can share that through their social media, that would be helpful in collecting more information.
Yeah, thanks so much, Kayla. I totally forgot. Also, it's not just Chatham County. So we're collecting information for the whole county, so other municipalities as well. So if you, you know, want to share it, we're going to share that information back with the different municipalities just because it's easier to connect with the public and say, let me know everywhere you have issues instead of just relegating them to unincorporated areas. So, yeah. Please come and see us on tomorrow.
And Effingham County also has Safe Streets for All public meetings and a survey, so we can share that information as well. Everybody's getting in on it. All right, City of Savannah.
Tina's here tied to town. Did Kira ever step on? I don't know. But I'm probably the one y'all want the updates for tied to town on. Right?
Yeah. If you, okay. Can you scroll down, Asia?
Yes.
See if we had a tie to town. Yeah. So we can start with the Truman Linear Park Trail Phase 2B update.
Yeah, 2B, we had the groundbreaking on July 1st. And the contractors, we got them their signed contract books. And we hope that they're planning to start the week of August, I want to say it's like August 13th is our pre-con. So we should start seeing some survey in and hopefully some silt fence going in. That's 2B.
Great. Thank you. Any other updates you want to give on remaining portions?
Yeah, the next one that probably is going to be hitting the books is Middle Ground Road. That's going to connect like 204 to like right there at Montgomery Crossroads all the way around to Georgia Southern. And I hope in September to give a notice to proceed to our top scoring design firm to get that started design, to get that rolling. And other than that, that's probably the two with PI numbers and the two with funding.
Great. Thank you.
So Wycota had a question. She wanted to know the progress for DeLesseps Avenue.
In regards to tied to town or in regards to just the project?
So I see the project will include adding sidewalks and bike lanes both in the east and west directions.
I'd have to get back with you on that because that's not one I'm familiar with. That's the, oh. I think the project manager is Byron on that one. So he would be the one to get the update. And I can have him contact. Wycota, do you want me to have Byron contact you?
Oh, so it looks like we do have the information here in this little update paragraph right here.
Okay.
So I think we're good. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
All right, moving on to doubt the airport report will have anything related to us. Chatham Area Transit.
Okay, I won't go over every point on our MPO, but I do want to point out, on our status update, but I do want to point out something regarding our paratransit maintenance facility. So we are in the midst of finalizing our site selection process and the completion of our community outreach. And so we are internally right now going through our having our stakeholder meetings. So with operators, staff, et cetera. And so hopefully we'll be able to start with community outreach in the coming weeks. And of course, going over that conceptual design work and just getting inputs from the public and also our own team as well. And then I want to make a comment on the ferry, the Bells Ferry. Our purchase order was sent to the board in May, and that is complete.
Great. Excited to hear that that one's finally complete. All right. And then LATS SCDOT.
These are roadway projects, so if you're interested.
It is always good to have some more information on all of those.
Yeah.
All right, great. And then if there are any other updates either in the room or online, either about specific projects or if there are related events or community engagement, we can take those now.
This is Alden with the Georgia High-Low Trail. Just wanted to let everyone know that this past Saturday in Sandersville, we had our first groundbreaking ceremony for the – it's really the first portion of the model miles that will be laid in Sandersville at the Forest Grove Preserve. Right now, I believe there's about 1.25 miles cleared, and the total's model mile will be somewhere between 2 and 4 miles. But that was a huge monument for the High-Low Trail, and there was lots of good attendance there with Mayor Sandersville, Mayor of Tennell, surrounding communities. Caliph was there. It was a great turnout. So the High-Low Trail is doing things. I know it's been just a vision for a while, but there are things happening. It is going to be a real thing, and we are very excited for it to eventually come to Effingham and Chatham counties. Thank you.
All right. Any other updates in person or online? Justin, do you want to mention the summit?
I suppose I can. I'm never a very good salesperson. The Georgia Bike Walk Live Summit, Georgia Bikes is hosting in Decatur, October 3rd through 4th. We are currently accepting submissions for discussions, for presentations, for mobile workshops. And then, of course, registration is also available now. We have an early bird discount if you want to register as soon as possible. If you have questions about either of those, you can always email me at justin@georgiabikes.org.
Great. Thanks, Justin. If there are no other updates, then I think we can wrap up this first BPAC meeting. All right. Thank you all for attending. We'll send out the potential dates and time options for the subsequent meetings for the rest of 2024 via email, and we'll make sure that that PL study document gets sent out to everyone today, or hopefully soon, so we can get any feedback before it is hopefully approved on August 7th. So thank you all, and I look forward to talking to y'all soon.